This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And yes, it is the greatest nation on God's green earth. And yes, America is still exceptional, distinct, unique, standing apart from the other nations of the world in a good way, not a negative way. I know that Brian Kilmeade believes that. He's written a series of books about American history. And he shares with me, and I think with most Americans, if you scratch below the surface, a sense that there is a special American destiny. So how does the coronavirus insanity play into that? And it's not just an insanity in terms of the reaction, imperfect reaction of all governments and all leaders everywhere. No one has been an unmitigated hero in dealing with this coronavirus matter. But the evidence is unmistakable that the death rate in the United States is worse than it is in most places. How could that be if we are a favored nation in history? Andrew Jackson and Abraham Lincoln and Franklin Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan all use the phrase, this favored land. They talked about America being a favored place. Okay, so how come our death rate per million, according to Worldometer, which measures literally up to the minute the number of coronavirus deaths, we have a death rate of now 250. It was 246 yesterday. 250 per 1 million population. The world average is 37.4. What is going on? Is this all part of a conspiracy? A lot of people believe that. There are 8 million people who have watched an insane, irresponsible, and utterly despicable video. And now I'm sure more people rush to see it, but you can't because they're trying to keep it off of the major platforms. It's called Plandemic. We'll talk about that. Is there any truth to that at all with the American Council for Science and Health and with a PhD microbiologist, Alex Barrazzo? What's true? What's not? And Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, also joins us today. And Senator Paul was just on Capitol Hill, at least virtually. Anthony Fauci, probably the most respected scientific figure, certainly the one who has gotten the most attention in leading the administration's response, the whole government, the whole nation's response to this coronavirus pandemic. Anthony Fauci was giving testimony. He's under isolation because he's been heavily exposed to Katie Miller, who was the press secretary for Mike Pence. She still is, but she is now isolated. She's tested positive for coronavirus. Her husband, Stephen Miller, President Trump's senior aide, is also quarantining himself, self-quarantining himself. He has not tested positive, to the best of anyone's knowledge so far. Rand Paul actually has survived coronavirus. And I want to talk to him about that when we speak to him a little bit later. But here was Dr. Paul, and yes, he is an MD. He is an ophthalmologist, an eye doctor, and a very good one. I know people who may not even like Senator Paul's politics respect what he does as a physician, and every year when his health permits, and you remember he had that problem where he was attacked by his neighbor and he was hospitalized, and that was a complicated thing, broke several ribs, punctured a lung. Even in spite of illness, he donates his time helping underprivileged kids with eye surgeries and with eye care, which I think is a very noble thing for Senator Paul. He was challenging another noble physician, in my opinion, Dr. Anthony Fauci, this morning in Senate hearings. Listen.
As much as I respect you, Dr. Fauci, I don't think you're the end all. I don't think you're the one person that gets to make a decision. We can listen to your advice, but there are people on the other side saying there's not going to be a surge and that we can safely open the economy. And the facts will bear this out. But if we keep kids out of school for another year, what's going to happen is the poor and underprivileged kids who don't have a parent that's able to teach them at home are not going to learn for a full year. And I think we ought to look at the Swedish model and we ought to look at letting our kids get back to school. I think it's a huge mistake if we don't open the schools in the fall. Thank you.
Okay, part of this had to do with an answer that Dr. Fauci had given before. We'll get to that. But he responded very directly and maybe just a bit testily to the challenge by Senator Paul. Here's Dr. Fauci.
First of all, Senator Paul, thank you for your comments. I have never made myself out to be the end-all and only voice in this. I'm a scientist, a physician, and a public health official. I give advice according to the best scientific evidence. There are a number of other people who come into that and give advice that are more related to the things that you spoke about the need to get the country back open again and economically. I don't give advice about economic things. I don't give advice about anything other than public health. So I wanted to respond to that. The second thing is that you use the word we should be humble about what we don't know. And I think that falls under the fact that we don't know everything about this virus. And we really better be very careful, particularly when it comes to children. Because the more and more we learn, we're seeing things about what this virus can do that we didn't see from the studies in China or in Europe.
Okay, he then goes on this theme that, no, the virus does represent a danger to children, not as great as, of course, to adults or particularly to the elderly, but still a real danger. Listen.
For example, right now, children presenting with COVID-19, who actually have a very strange inflammatory syndrome, very similar to Kawasaki's syndrome. I think we better be careful if we are not cavalier in thinking that children are completely immune to the deleterious effects. So again, you're right in the numbers that children in general do much, much better than adults and the elderly and particularly those with underlying conditions. But I am very careful and hopefully humble in knowing that I don't know everything about this disease, and that's why I'm very reserved in making broad predictions. Thank you.
Okay, let's be clear about something. Dr. Fauci did not say that the school year would have to be canceled for next year. What he did say was that it is not at all certain that we will have a vaccine for the start of the school year next fall. And yes, that's very, very significant, because what do you do? I mean, kids have been out of school for a long time. And I think the answer, and I think Dr. Fauci himself has clarified this, the answer is going to have to be the decision of local and state authorities. Here's Dr. Fauci.
The idea of having treatments available or a vaccine to facilitate the reentry of students into the fall term would be something that would be a bit of a bridge too far. As I mentioned, the drug that has shown some degree of efficacy was modest and was in hospitalized patients, not yet or maybe ever to be used either yet as prophylaxis or treatment. So if the issue is that the young individuals who will be going back to school would like to have some comfort in that there's a treatment, probably the thing that would be closest to utilization then would likely be passive transfer of convalescent serum. But we're really not talking about necessarily treating a student who gets ill, but how the student will feel safe in going back to school.
Okay, and that's something obviously everybody has to work on. Will students feel more safe if the new Democratic $3 trillion coronavirus bill actually passes? It won't. We'll cover that. We'll also be hearing what Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren had to say in the Fauci hearings. That with Alex Barrazo and American Council for Science and Health coming up on the MedVed Show. Most of us, nearly all of us, in fact, have been spending so much more time at home recently that now is the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of our sleep with MyPillow. Right now, buy one, get one free pricing on Giza Elegance MyPillows, roll and go anywhere pillows, duvet covers, Giza pillowcases, bolster pillows, and neck pillows. Just go to the radio listener's special page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED or call 1-800-320-6280. If you order Mike Lindell's book, your entire MyPillow order will ship for free. Plus, he'll give you a $25 gift card for your next purchase. Don't miss this amazing opportunity to buy one, get one free on pillows, duvets, and more from MyPillow. Call 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280. Or go to the radio listener's special page at MyPillow.com. Promo code MEDVED.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ACH.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to ACSH.org today.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com.
Michael Medved Show, it is a great privilege to have Senator Rand Paul back on the show. Senator Paul has various qualifications for talking about this coronavirus crisis. One is that he's a distinguished physician and somebody who still volunteers his time to help people in need as a physician. He's also a coronavirus survivor. How long when you had coronavirus, Senator Paul, were you out of the picture, unable to do your job?
Well, you know, about 2 weeks of quarantine. But the interesting thing is I was like a lot of people were finding I didn't have any symptoms. I didn't have a fever, body ache, never got a cough, so I never really got sick. And that's actually good news for the country, is that there's a lot of people like me, maybe millions. And as a consequence, when you look at mortality, if you add in all the people who never got sick, but we find them through antibody testing, we find the mortality rate is actually a great deal less than what has been reported. And while this can be a deadly flu for certain people, it's not nearly as deadly as they were predicting.
Well, and do you feel confident that you have immunity now, having gone through a positive test and survived?
Yeah, in fact, they've done a lot of science on this, and the media gets this all completely wrong. They infected rhesus monkeys with the virus, and then they tried to reinfect them after they recovered, and they couldn't get them to be reinfected. They took blood from people who have survived this, and they put it into a lab test to see if they could prevent the virus from invading cells. And guess what? When you take the blood from people who are recovered, they have immunity. It protects against the virus invading cells. So there's a lot of evidence, including this convalescent serum, where they give somebody the serum of a recovered virus victim, and seems to help prevent the infection. Also, the history of modern science is most diseases you get an immune response. So it's really a disservice of the media to go around saying, oh, nobody gets immunity. Well, it's absolutely not true. So I asked Fauci that again today, and he did agree that, yes, in all likelihood, people do get immunity. And see, this is good news for all those meatpacking workers that have gotten the virus, for the 2 million people in New York who've gotten and survived. They have immunity. They can have some sense of solace after what they went through.
Okay, and again, everybody is looking for good news right now. What could provide for better news in terms of changing the way that we are responding to the ongoing crisis? Two things, Senator, and you were very aggressive with Dr. Fauci this morning. Do you think we need to take our leadership from somewhere else that is not necessarily Dr. Fauci in terms of scaling a government response?
You know, I think Dr. Fauci is doing his best. He's putting forward his opinion, and his is a very, very cautious one. So we need to hear from other scientists. There's Dr. Scott Atlas with the Hoover Institute, works for Stanford, who has written recently about reopening. There are people who have talked about how small or how low the mortality is among children. So this is what I brought up with Dr. Fauci. If you're going to be up in front of 300 million people saying we shouldn't open school, well, shouldn't we at least discuss the fact that mortality for children is virtually zero, and mortality for people who are 18 to 45 in New York was 10 deaths per 100,000, 0.01%. So really, while this is a deadly flu for some people, it's actually a very benign disease for others. It's a little hard to differentiate who's going to get the benign course and who gets the aggressive course, other than age is a strong, strong indicator. So children, it is going to be very, very rare that any of them get sick enough to die, and so they all need to be in school. Keeping them out of school is a huge disservice to them and to the country, and we're seeing in Sweden where they kept them in school, no huge spikes in Sweden. Their death rate per capita is actually less than Britain, less than France, less than Italy, less than Spain. So really, we need to rethink this, because this government quarantine is destroying our country.
Okay, in terms of federalism, I mean, a lot of people have said that the coronavirus is providing a return of federalism. Do you accept that, or do you think there should be more federal, national pressure for recalcitrant states like the state where I live, the state of Washington, which is still largely locked down? Or should a state have its own choice?
I think the arguments for federalism exist above and beyond even the practicality of the virus, but I think the virus actually makes a stronger argument for federalism, because I don't think one size fits all. So, for example, well, I think we should be able to go to church and work in Kentucky. In New York, I think the rules might have to be different. Now, there are certain liberties that we have, you know, that are guaranteed, and the liberty to travel is a liberty that the Supreme Court has said is a fundamental liberty. So some of the liberties can be protected by the federal government, but really, if we're talking about the best way to respond, particularly when it's limitations on our freedom, the smaller the denomination of government unit, the better. So I would go to governors, but I'd go beyond governors to the people, to the private business owners, to medical officials, to local county judge executives and mayors. Really, the power needs to be dispersed and not concentrated anywhere. We've got a Democrat governor in Kentucky. I call him DWP, drunk with power, and he's killing our economy, telling gyms they can't open for another 2 months, and we've had 300 deaths. And those 300 deaths are about what we had from the flu last year. So in our state, it actually wasn't worse than the traditional flu. In New York, it was much worse than the traditional flu. So it depends on how much of it you get. And they truly had a pandemic in New York. And we really had sort of a mild flu season in Kentucky.
Okay, one thing that you are addressing right now, you have introduced an amendment to a House-passed FISA bill that would protect America from having a repeat of the situation with General Flynn. As I understand your bill, FISA courts could still authorize surveillance of non-citizens, of foreign operators, but it would protect U.S. citizens, would require a general court, not a special Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court. Is that right?
Right. I think the FISA court, which is a secret court, has no business investigating a presidential campaign. I don't care if it's Barack Obama's a president or Donald Trump. We've seen that there are biased people. Look how biased Clapper is. Look how biased Comey is. Look at McCabe. Look at Strzok and Lisa Page. I was amazed how much bias there was in the upper echelons of the intelligence community, but they should never be allowed to investigate a president. It's not enough to put more restrictions on how the process works. It just should not be used to investigate presidential elections or domestic crime in any way. It has a lower standard. It doesn't use the Fourth Amendment constitutional standard of of having to have probable cause of a crime. It's probable cause that you're related to a foreign government. So that's a lower and different standard, and I'm fine with that for foreigners and to gather information on people who might attack us. But for a presidential campaign, we can't fix the presidential campaign by saying, oh, you get to get an amicus in there and we'll bottle up the process a little bit. That's not enough. Campaigns should never be investigated by a secret court with a lower than constitutional standard. So I have an amendment.
I think a lot of people, Senator Paul, would say amen, absolutely. Folks who want to read about this amendment introduced by Senator Rand Paul, it's at our website at michaelmedved.com. It's an important reform. We'll be right back on the Medved Show.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Dr. Anthony Fauci thinks a second wave of coronavirus in the United States is possible in the fall. Testifying in a video conference during a Senate hearing, Fauci expresses hope that the second wave can be handled properly. He was also asked about schools starting in the fall.
My concern that if some areas, cities, states, or what have you, jump over those various checkpoints and prematurely open up, without having the capability of being able to respond effectively and efficiently, my concern is that we will start to see little spikes that might turn into outbreaks.
Acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf is at the U.S.-Mexico border touring new wall construction being installed in Arizona and California during the coronavirus pandemic. Wolf last visited the region in January. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Far more serious. Christine Blasey Ford claimed to have been groped by Justice Kavanaugh when he was a drunken 17-year-old. Tara Reid insists Joe Biden assaulted her when he was a 50-year-old senator and her boss. Moreover, the first time Dr. Ford ever spoke to anyone about her allegations came 30 years after the purported event, in conversation with her therapist, while Reid discussed her charges with at least 4 friends or family members in the same year they allegedly occurred. In neither case does it make sense to disqualify a candidate for high office based solely on dubious long-ago charges by a single accuser. Applying that standard to Biden means the Democrats should acknowledge the far flimsier grounds they had for attempting to destroy Justice Kavanaugh. A little bit later on this edition of the Michael Medved Show, we'll go back to some of the other questions that were posed to Dr. Anthony Fauci and his Senate testimony this morning. Bernie Sanders asked him about the death totals, and Bernie Sanders actually implied that the total number of Americans who have died from COVID-19 is actually higher than what the authorities have reported. How do you make sense of some of the claims and the counterclaims? Well, one of the ways that I use to make sense of it is I go to my friend Alex Barrazzo. Dr. Barrazzo is a microbiologist. He is also a senior writer and resource for the American Council for Science and Health, which is a great place to go for fact-checking. Okay, Alex, you're probably aware that all over right-wing media right now, there is a lot of discussion that the death totals in the United States for coronavirus have been greatly exaggerated to try to get more money for hospitals or to try to generate this sense of emergency and catastrophe. What do you think the chances are that we have far, far fewer actual dead bodies from this virus than the close to 85,000 that have been reported?
It's probably not going to be. If it's fewer than that, it's not going to be a lot fewer. The problem is that different places, different countries seem to have different ways of counting dead people. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's actually true. If somebody dies and they tested positive for the disease, there are some countries, and I think the United States would be one of them, that will count you as a death from COVID-19, regardless if it was actually the cause of death. You may have died from something else, but you tested positive for the disease, therefore it's the cause of death. That's not happening in all countries. I think Germany is one of them where the death count's a little bit lower, and they may have a different system for counting them. So I don't think this debate is going to be resolved anytime soon. There's going to be a reckoning period where epidemiologists are going through all this data and trying to come up with the answer. That's going to probably happen over the next couple of years.
Well, I know you're aware of this. There is now a viral video that's been seen at least 8 million times. Some people say it's been seen 10 million times. It's called Plandemic. And it is put together, by the way, by a guy named Mickey Willis, who both in the 2016 campaign and in this 2020 campaign worked for Bernie Sanders. He was Bernie Sanders' videographer. So they suggest in this piece that Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci were basically teamed up to create this virus and to basically kill people and make a lot of money. What do you think? Have you taken a look at some of these charges?
Well, I'm familiar with the video. I haven't seen it, but I'm familiar with some of its contents, and it is pure insanity. I mean, it is of the caliber of a conspiracy theory that you regularly deal with, Michael, on your monthly conspiracy theory day. No, this is really dangerous stuff. It's not true. It's not true that this virus was released on purpose. It's not true that it was genetically modified. It's not true that there's some sort of plan in place to vaccinate everybody so that companies make a lot of money. I really don't understand how Bill Gates could be involved in this. He's a philanthropist. He doesn't make money off of these things. He
promotes vaccines, though. He promotes vaccines to save lives. And this whole video has been adopted by the anti-vaxxers, the people who don't want people to be vaccinated for anything.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. But here's the best evidence that I can do against it. The star of this show is a lady named Mikovits, I think Judy Mikovits, and she is thoroughly discredited. Several years ago, she was studying a disease known as chronic fatigue syndrome, and she came to the conclusion that it was caused by a virus. And so she published this paper, and it made a big splash, and then it was retracted because it ended up being wrong, they think possibly due to contamination. Well, she sort of flipped out after that, and she decided that there was a massive conspiracy against her to hold back her career, and she went full-blown conspiracy theorist. And now she's spreading conspiracies about vaccines, and that's how she got into this video. It's really sort of sad, but she is thoroughly discredited, and she should not be taken seriously.
She also has a prolific arrest record. She was arrested for stealing stuff out of laboratories she wasn't authorized to take home. And it's an arrest record in three different states, so this is not who you want to rely on.
When you look at a scientist's CV, usually you look for things like not arrested, right? So she has no credibility, and I don't know, you know, something happened, and she now sees a conspiracy around every corner, so no, she doesn't have any credibility.
Okay, Alex Barrazo of the American Council on Science and Health, you have a terrific piece, and I just love this. And it's about a social pathology that you believe is infecting the country, and that is to blame everything, including the virus. It's all Trump's fault. It's because of Trump that America has a somewhat higher death rate than a lot of other countries. We're actually worse than the world average in terms of the death rate. That's all Trump's fault. And then on the other side, it's all the fault of Trump's critics. And in other words, that this entire virus is all about Trump. Why is that so dangerous?
It's dangerous because not only is it not true, but it actually hinders productive debate and conversation about this virus. If you assume that everyone that is speaking on some sort of public health issue has some sort of underlying political agenda, it's thoroughly corrosive to public discourse. We've been accused of being pro-Trump and anti-Trump, depending on what sort of article we publish. When I said that the virus wasn't as bad as influenza, which was true at the time, we were accused of being pro-Trump. When we said that hydroxychloroquine, one of the medicines that's been thought to help the virus, doesn't actually work, we were accused of being anti-Trump. This is really insane. And I take my cue from Britt Hume, the Fox News commentator, who said that President Trump's biggest flaw is he thinks that everything is about him, and his critics' biggest flaw is that they agree.
In other words, wouldn't it be nice if the president had a great big button under his desk that he could just push, and that would speed a whole bunch of more tests out there right away? Your best guess, Dr. Barrasso, are we looking at America coming out of lockdown in a month or two, or is this a much more long-term struggle?
It's going to be a long-term struggle, but I think it's also a futile struggle. There is an infectious disease epidemiologist in Sweden. Now, Sweden's one of the countries that did not do a lockdown, and he believes that these lockdowns are essentially pointless because countries, he said, this virus is so infectious that probably everyone is going to be exposed at some point, and probably most people will be infected. And so he said, therefore, lockdowns are not going to work, and what we need to do is just make sure that the really, really sick people, make sure that they get care, and really, there's not a lot else that we're going to be able to do, because simply locking down society doesn't work. Look at, you know, the UK, they locked down. Look at France and Italy and China, and the virus still spread. And so he doesn't think it's going to work, that it's simply inevitable that everyone will be exposed and infected at some point.
And that's on that cheery note, that's Dr. Alex Barrasso. Actually, he has a very constructive and more optimistic piece called Four Coronavirus Lessons That We Will or Won't Learn. Let's hope we learn them. It's posted on our website at michaelmedved.com, along with more information about the indispensable American Council on Science and Health. We will be right back with more of Dr. Fauci's Senate testimony coming up on The MedVed Show.
Become a MedHead and receive 50% off History Store downloads for all annual members. Join today at MichaelMedVed.com.
This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is, the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Grovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 and AmericanFederal.com. Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com or click at the banner at MichaelMedved.com. They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kenger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
ImmunoCorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, there is a great deal going on, and I do want to say that it's very much worthwhile, it seems to me, to try to look at left-wing media sites when talking about right-wing figures, and to look at right-wing or conservative media sites when talking about the left-wing. I mean, when you talk about Nancy Pelosi and you read about the coverage even in the Washington Post, which is very, very much left-leaning, Washington Post looks at Nancy Pelosi right now and says, are you kidding me? This new relief package is not going to go anywhere. It doesn't have support. It has no chance of passing, probably not even the House, for $3 trillion. And she won't let people even take a look at it. So what is it for? It's an election stunt. And meanwhile, this question about the number of people who have died, that, it seems to me, and I know that there's a state senator from, Scott Jensen is his name, from Minnesota, who says that they have exaggerated the figures of people who have died from COVID-19. I don't think that that is either accurate or meaningful. And in the hearings today with Anthony Fauci, connected online with members of the U.S. Senate, Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont, asked Dr. Fauci about the official death toll. Listen.
The official statistic, Dr. Fauci, is that 80,000 Americans have died from the pandemic. There are some epidemiologists who suggest the number may be 50% higher than that. What do you think?
I'm not sure, Senator Sanders, if it's going to be 50% higher, but most of us feel that the number of deaths are likely higher than that number because given the situation, particularly in New York City, when they were really strapped with a very serious challenge to their healthcare system, that there may have been people who died at home who did have COVID, who were not counted as COVID because they never really got to the hospital. So in direct answer to your question, I think you are correct that the number is likely higher. I don't know exactly what percent higher, but almost certainly is higher.
The official number right at this moment, 82,690. Worldwide, 291,164. It's 300,000 people. Now, just in perspective, every year in recent years, about 20 million human beings die on planet Earth. But one of the ways you determine one of the ways that you determine the actual number of people who have died from the COVID pandemic. The way you do it is by you look at the way in a given locality or a given jurisdiction that the number of dead people has exceeded the norm. And I understated the norm in terms of it's about 50 million people who die every year. Really? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And 50 million people who are born every year. In any event, it's huge numbers. Elizabeth Warren also spoke, and of course, Elizabeth Warren, who is angling to be the vice presidential nominee for Joe Biden when he escapes from the basement. Elizabeth Warren clearly and inevitably had to bring this thing around to President Trump. Listen.
The president needs to stop pretending that if he just ignores bad news, it will go away. It won't. The time for magical thinking is over here. President Trump must acknowledge that the federal response has been insufficient and that more people are dying as a result. We are running out of time to save lives, and we need to act now. So thank you, Dr. Fauci, for all you're doing. I appreciate it, but the urgency of the moment could not be clearer.
Okay, that's Senator Warren. Look, I think one of the things that's become very unhealthy is sort of we don't have Olympics coming up this summer. No Tokyo Olympics, and probably not in 2021 either, they are now saying. But really to be treating the question of how many deaths per nation or how many deaths per million in population per nation is a new kind of Olympics. And, look, Germany wins the gold medal and the U.S. finishes second. No, the U.S. doesn't finish second. It's what is instructive here, I think, is to go back to something that Dr. Barazow said on this show just moments ago. Look, this is a very, very contagious virus. And if you look at countries that have done poorly or done well, let me just show you. This is just some of the basic math. The world average in terms of deaths per 1 million population is 37. We in the United States have 250, many times that. But that's not because we're so much worse than the rest of the world. It's because it came here before it came to other countries. The numbers from Britain are terrible. The numbers from Britain are double as bad as we are. Does that mean that's because of socialized medicine in Britain and their health system doesn't work, or because Boris Johnson is a bad leader or anything like that? No, because Italy's even worse. Spain is even worse. France is even worse. They're all up there about double the death rate as the United States. Canada's much better. Peru is much better. Saudi Arabia is much better. Mexico is theoretically much better, but no one believes their numbers because the left-wing government of AMLO has been fudging the numbers. And by the way, Russia looks on in terms of these numbers much better, but nobody believes the numbers from Russia and China. These are dictatorships. According to the official numbers that have been released, Russia has only 14 deaths per 1 million. That is wrong by at least a factor of 10, maybe by a factor of 100. And there's even a piece today. There's some Russians who are taking their lives in their hands by questioning the total number of deaths that Putin is claiming and saying this is ridiculous. The New York Times has a piece. A data released by Moscow city government shows that the number of overall registered deaths in the Russian capital in April exceeded the five-year average for the same period by more than 1,700. In other words, there's 1,700 more deaths in 1 month than an average month for the month of April. And they only admit to 642 deaths for all of Moscow. And the experts are saying it's at least three times as high. And then they're talking again about how Putin's entire shaky regime needs to continue lying about it. But fighting about these numbers doesn't make it easier to get solutions. It doesn't make it easier for us to get back to work, nor does it make it easier for us to get back to work by pretending that somehow this is all going to be over soon, quickly. There's a piece on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and remember I was mentioning conservative versus liberal sources of information. The Wall Street Journal is generally positive toward the Trump administration, is generally positive toward the American free market economy. They have a piece on the front page today, and the piece has the headline, Hopes for Speedy Rebound Dim. And man, it's full of information, and none of it is encouraging. Many policymakers, they write, and corporate executives, until recently, were hoping for a V-shaped economic recovery from the coronavirus pandemic, a short, sharp collapse followed by a bounce back to pre-virus levels of activity. Now they expect a swoosh recovery. Named after the Nike logo, it predicts a large drop followed by painfully slow recovery, with many Western economies, including the U.S. and Europe, not back to 2019 levels of output until late next year or probably beyond. They're looking at a full recovery in 2022 or 2023. That is a major out. So what do we do about it? How does that impact the election going on? There's an election going on, a crucial election. Republicans have a chance to pick up a seat in the House of Representatives. That's in California. We'll talk about that. We'll also be speaking with Brian Kilmeade about American exceptionalism and much more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Maybe you're skeptical that Relief Factor, 100% drug-free Relief Factor, can really help you get out of pain. I can understand if Relief Factor were a brand new product. Sure, I'd be skeptical too. But Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, started the company almost 7 years ago. And we've been talking about it all that time, virtually every day. And now tens of thousands of people have ordered the 3-week quick start and are taking it every day to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is here to stay for a very good reason. So go ahead, be a little skeptical, but I suggest you might become like me and so many others who've tried it, a believer. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee pain, or back pain in my case, from just getting older, exercise, or everyday living, the 3-week quick start is discounted to only $19.95. It's like a trial pack. Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. Or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.